fantasy football today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Let's go.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
Welcome to the Wednesday show, everybody. Adam, Jamie, and Heath. We got a special guest coming on later today. You know what I love?
Whoa. Oh, we have a guest.
Yeah, he's special.
I'm not sure.
I will let the listeners decide. Will Brinson's coming on, CBS NFL writer, host of the Pick Six podcast. You know what I love, guys? I do. I truly love it. Little Saturday football. Love when we get Saturday football. NFL.
That's because you don't have to work.
What do you mean I don't have to work? I'm doing the radio show.
Nah.
Still, I love it. It's fun. Why not have more football? Houston at the Jets, Cleveland at Denver on Saturday. All right, so what's on today's show? A preview of a very exciting Thursday night game, Chargers at Kansas City. Will Brinson will come on. Will, oh, this is so funny. Get ready to make fun of Will, because I told him I told him to pick apart your rankings a little bit. And it's just like, he's like, you're too low on David Johnson. I'm like, well, he's a top 12 running back. Where do you want them to put him? So anyway, you guys can make fun of Will for that. And we're going to preview the tight end position for 2019. Good players with bad matchups this week. A lot of questions about Aaron Rodgers and Aaron Jones. I think Matt Ryan has a tough matchup this week. Nick Chubb is a tough matchup. So we'll talk about that. Let's start with the tweet of the day. Oh, with regulators. At the end of the show, regulators. Tweet of the day from Heath Cummings. Philip Rivers' last four games at Arrowhead. And I'll just sum it up. Two touchdowns, six interceptions, Heath. And only one game with more than 9 fantasy points and 6 point per passing touchdown leagues. That was 15 fantasy points 2 years ago.
He has been bad at Arrowhead for 4 years in a row.
Really bad.
Like, terrible.
And, yeah, we'll get into it. But is that why you guys have him around 10th or so?
It does not have any impact on my rankings. I thought it was a good stat.
Really? You just don't care?
I'm not saying I don't care.
But it has no impact.
It's a good talking point. It's a reason to possibly have some concern.
Jamie, does this matter to you, this Arrowhead history?
A little bit. But, I mean, for the most part, the Chiefs' defense has been better over those last 4 years than it is right now.
Yeah, I would hope so. It's pretty bad right now. Okay, so Rivers, a lot of Rivers questions. We'll get to those. We have emails at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. We have tweets as well. How was your waiver wiring last night?
Fun.
Easy,
mostly,
right?
Mostly uneventful.
Yeah, pretty easy. Nobody seems to want Marcus Murphy. I picked him up in like 3 or 4 leagues.
I think it was he, like, did you have to really scroll down the projections
yes.
for him?
Very, yeah. very low projections.
That's the key.
Yeah.
Not now.
Well, I don't really want to start him. I was kind of playing
four,
defense.
There's four teams.
I think people didn't search for him. Adam got him everywhere.
Well, I mean, again, it goes back to the conversation we had yesterday. How many people need to start Marcus Murphy? That's more of a deep flex, deep league type guy.
Yeah.
Nobody was starting LeSean McCoy. I mean, why would you start the guy that's two behind him on the depth chart?
Yeah, it's going to be like...
Well, I have Murphy ranked higher than I've had McCoy ranked the last 3 weeks.
Do I start Murphy? Do I start Marlon Mack? You know, guys who just haven't been very good. And I guess it could be a tough call. No, it wouldn't be a tough call because we don't know about Melvin Gordon. But if he plays, you'll start him. But if he doesn't play, you'll start Justin Jackson over Murphy. Certainly. It's really nice to have fab dollars available right now. So I hope if you kind of have some fab, you can sort of bully people on the waiver wire and just get whoever you want.
It's funny you say that because I never really do this, but I actually did it in our Dynasty League yesterday. I needed a tight end, and I looked to see who else had fab dollars to spend because I needed to save a few bucks for next week just in case I advance. So I look to see that the two of the three teams have $2 or less left out of a $1,000 budget.
Wow.
And so I saved $3 just in case I advance next week. So if I wanted to get somebody, yep. I have more money than them.
Of course. Nice work. And then one thing I like to do, and I wish I had said this yesterday, But in terms of handcuffs right now, I mean, it's can be important to have your handcuff, but there's a chance nobody's going to want the handcuff to your running back. So I think you can drop your handcuff now, pick up somebody that maybe you don't want your opponent to get, and then on Saturday, just reverse the ad drop, drop that guy that you didn't want your opponent to get. He won't be available until next week, and then get your handcuff again.
Whoa.
What's the problem?
I have heard a lot of criticism from you over people that see that somebody needs a tight end, picks up and drops three of them.
No, that's, make sure that's they can't completely add a tight end. Different. This is
exactly the same thing. You're keeping someone on your roster, then dropping them just so the other person can't add them.
Okay, first of all, wait, I don't have a problem really with people doing that if they have the roster spot.
No, you don't like it when they pick up then drop. You are using one roster spot for two players.
Okay. This is so different.
It's exactly the same thing.
But I'm giving you the opportunity to pick up the guy that I dropped. Because I'm doing it on Tuesday night. For example, I dropped Giovanni Bernard in one league. I have Joe Mixon, I dropped Giovanni Bernard. Nobody's going to pick up Giovanni Bernard. So on Saturday, I'm going to drop whoever I added just that because I was playing defense and pick up Gio again.
By picking up three tight ends, I'm just playing defense.
You're talking about adding...
The exact same thing.
What Heath is saying is the exact same thing.
No, because what Heath is saying is you add a tight end, you drop someone. Then you add another tight end, you drop the tight end you just picked up. Then you add another tight end, you drop the second tight end you just picked up.
So it's
one more move.
If you're saying you're picking up somebody else, so you're picking up someone that you have no intention of using so that someone else cannot do it. It's the same theory.
Yeah, but I'm allowed. But that's totally fine. But I am putting Giovanni Bernard on waivers for somebody to pick up.
I'm putting whoever I drop for this first tight end on waivers.
But you are doing three transactions, and also if you do that on Monday or on Tuesday night, it doesn't really matter.
You're a hypocrite and a fraud.
No, I hate you. And you know what? Honestly, you should be ashamed of yourself, Heath, because you quit as commissioner. You quit on the For the People League. I did not at all.
I set the playoff matchup yesterday.
You did not even send an email.
And then you send me a text. Do you want me to set the playoff matchups? They're already set.
Yeah, because you didn't send an email. Every commish sends an email congratulating people for making the playoffs. It was a great year. Here are our matchups. Heath did not even take the time to do that with the For the People League.
Not every commissioner does that.
Apparently not. Only the good ones. News and notes. Melvin Gordon's going to be a game time decision. Austin Eckler unlikely to play. Detrez Newsome could back up Justin Jackson in this game. Kelvin Benjamin unlikely to see extended snaps, according to the Kansas City Star.
Did you say Melvin Gordon is not expected to play?
No, I said Austin Eckler is not expected to play. Gordon will be a game time decision.
It sounds like Gordon's going to play.
Okay, well, he's making progress, that's for sure. Spencer Ware, though, is beat up. Do you have any concerns about Spencer Ware playing?
Not as of now, but I think you should pick up Damien Williams.
I added him in a couple of leagues last night.
Yeah, me too.
The Vikings fired offensive coordinator John DeFilippo and promoted their quarterbacks coach, Kevin Stefanski, to offensive coordinator. Wow, this is an odd time to do that, I guess.
I think it could be really bad news for the passing game. And you're not benching Thielen or Diggs, but I did downgrade them. Cousins went from a top six quarterback to number 13 for me. There was a lot of talk on the broadcast about how Zimmer wants to run the ball more. DeFilippo didn't really do that. They have been, I believe, the most, if not the most, then one of the most pass-happy teams in the league, throwing the ball 63% of the time.
I think Dave said yesterday on FFT, they're eighth in passing.
In pass attempts, yes.
Pass attempts.
In terms of as a percentage of their total plays, I think they're towards the very top. And I would expect that the pass attempts to go down.
James Conner has a chance to play this week. The Steelers could replace Chris Boswell if you haven't already replaced him on your fantasy team. It looks like he'll probably be there this week, but there's a chance they replace Boswell. The Jets' top three running backs all miss practice. So they have a Saturday game. Todd Bowles said, if they're not practicing by Friday, I'll be worried. What do you think? What do you think about the Jets' running backs right now?
I still expect McGuire to be the healthiest and safest play of the bunch. I mean, Isaiah Crowell has battled this foot problem for a while, and he was in a walking boot. My guess is they shut him down, at least for this week. As far as I would expect McGuire to probably get a limited practice in today and probably full practice by Friday.
Okay, and Corey Clement is on IR with a knee injury. Cortland Sutton missed practice with a thigh injury, but we think he's okay, right, Cortland Sutton?
As of now, yes.
He was banged up in that game, but I think he's okay.
Well, good. I think I'll use that as an excuse for his terrible performance. And Jack Conklin, Tennessee's right tackle, is on IR. Anything else? Anything I'm missing? Do we have any updates on Breida or I don't know.
No.
You guys, how are you guys feeling?
Great.
Good.
Really fantastic.
Are you?
Best I felt. Really full strength for the first time this season.
Good. Oh, wow.
Best shape of my life.
Mid-season form. All right, let's talk about some good players with bad matchups and if you are willing to start them this week. Matt Ryan will face the Cardinals, who allow the fourth fewest fantasy points to opposing quarterbacks. They do, however, see the sixth fewest pass attempts in the NFL. And like I think only two quarterbacks have thrown more than 35 passes against the Cardinals this year, whereas Matt Ryan has only two games with fewer than 34 pass attempts. So that's kind of interesting. You know, a lot of teams just run the ball over Arizona. I don't know if the Falcons are doing that. How do you feel about Matt Ryan at home this week against a team that's been very good against quarterbacks?
Planning on starting him. I don't think the Falcons can run all over the Cardinals.
He is a low-end starter this week, yes.
All right, then how about Aaron Rodgers at Chicago?
I would prefer to bench him.
I'm sitting him.
So you like Matt Ryan better than Aaron Rodgers?
Yes.
Amongst other quarterbacks.
Do you like Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen ahead of Aaron Rodgers?
Lamar Jackson, yes. I have right now Allen and Rodgers back-to-back, which is a frightening sentence to say.
I think I have Rodgers and Allen back-to-back, and I prefer Lamar Jackson to Aaron Rodgers.
Do you prefer...
I prefer Jameis Winston to Aaron Rodgers.
I'm not there.
How come?
I think the Bears are a more difficult matchup, and I think Jameis in the games most recently has been better.
I almost didn't realize how unimpressive Rodgers' numbers were last week. I sort of just kind of glossed over them, I guess. 196 yards, two touchdowns, 44 rushing yards to get to 23 fantasy points against the Falcons.
Last week or this season?
Yes, but I knew this season had been underwhelming. I guess I didn't I thought he had a pretty good game against the Falcons. It really wasn't that good. He's also not throwing the ball that much, 32 or fewer pass attempts in four of his last five games, but that'll kind of transition us to our next guy, Aaron Jones. People have a lot of questions about him. Now, since their bye, that's when they sort of went to Aaron Jones. Since their bye, he's the number five running back in fantasy. He's averaging 5.5 yards per carry. He's had a pretty nice schedule. Except one game, and it was against Minnesota, and Aaron Jones had an excellent game. 17 carries, 72 yards, and a touchdown, plus three catches, 21 yards. He's got three or more catches in five straight games. So, generally speaking, you know, as they relate to their own position, who do you have more confidence in this game, Aaron Rodgers or Aaron Jones?
Aaron Jones.
Aaron Jones, for sure. And I did downgrade Jones a little bit for this matchup. He's still a top 15 running back in both formats.
Why? Doesn't it seem harder to run on the Bears than pass on the Bears?
Yes. But I still think you look at what Rodgers has done on the road this year, what Aaron Jones has started to do in the passing game. And I think you just look at what his production has been and how... didn't Saquon Barkley have a good game against them?
Saquon Barkley had a great game against them, and so did LeGarrette Blount on that really short week for the Bears.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of it. How about this? There have been eight running backs with 10 to 15 carries against the Bears, 10 to 15, that have failed to score more than five fantasy points in non-PPR. That's crazy. But here's the encouraging stuff for Jones. Three running backs have had huge games. James White, Kerryon Johnson, and LeGarrette Blount. White was almost exclusively in the passing game. Three running backs had solid games. David Johnson, Frank Gore, and Saquon Barkley. Other than that, you know, they allow the second fewest fantasy points to the running backs. It just shut down.
I mean,
down
he was good against Minnesota. They're good against the run, too.
Yeah, he certainly was. It's just you. I'm starting Aaron Jones for sure. I'm just, you know me. I like to give a lot of stats, play devil's advocate, whatnot.
But, I mean, the biggest thing is you need to start at least. There need to be at least 24 startable running backs each week. and only 12 quarterbacks. And there, we've talked all year about how deep quarterback is.
But now we've got Jalen Samuels. We've got Jeff Wilson, potentially.
The only one of those guys I'd start over Jones is Samuels and PPR.
What about Justin Jackson if Melvin Gordon doesn't play?
No.
I would start him over Aaron Jones.
You would, Jamie? You would not?
I would not, no.
All right. You know who else has a tough matchup? Nick Chubb. Nick Chubb, in his last seven games since the Carlos Hyde trade, that's seven games over 8 weeks, I believe. He's the number six running back in non-PPR, number eight in PPR. He also has had pretty easy competition. In two tough matchups, Chubb scored 9 PPR points at Pittsburgh, 16 at Houston, but he only had 72 total yards. He did score. How do you feel about Chubb this week?
Must start.
Yeah, he's a solid start.
I think his floor is what Wilson gave you last week.
20 for 93.
He's probably going to be a lot better than that.
Or whatever it was, something like 20 for 93. So you are more confident in Chubb than Aaron Jones?
I am.
Yep.
All right, last guy with a tough matchup. Kenneth Golladay. He's been two bad games in a row. Although Stafford only threw like 22 passes last week. 23. Buffalo allows the second fewest fantasy points to wide receivers. How do you feel about Kenny Golladay this week?
Number two receiver.
I went into the week thinking, man, I'm going to hate Kenny Golladay. I don't think I can get away from him.
How come?
I believe in his talent. Buffalo has been very good against wide receivers, but I think a lot of that has to do with the number of attempts they get. And I just think he'll bounce back.
This isn't a great week for receiver.
No.
Oh, no?
And so, like, we had this conversation about Jarvis Landry yesterday, who I think is in somewhat of a similar situation, a guy that has been productive, but a little fluky last week in particular, that once you get past, like, somewhere in that 15 to 20 range, it's like, okay, where are you looking at now? Are you looking at talent? Are you looking at situation? Are you looking, you know, like, I don't think I'm at a point yet. And I don't know if our audience is there as well. Like, starting guys like, I'm trying to think of
Dante Pettis.
Huh?
Dante Pettis.
I could see Pettis over Golladay, though. Because Pettis has been really good the last 3 weeks. I could see Samuel over him, but I'm it's like the guys be like, I'm not starting Deshaun Hamilton over Kenny Golladay. I'm not starting Isaiah McKenzie over Kenny Golladay. You know, like that tier of receiver is not worth it.
Well, what about if you're comparing him to running backs? What about Aaron Jones and Nick Chubb versus Kenny Golladay?
That's easy.
You go with the backs?
Yeah.
All right, what if you went a little bit further down? Who's further down? Let's take a look at your running back rankings.
I mean, Jeff Wilson, you're starting over Golladay. You're starting Justin Jackson over him. You should be starting Mark Ingram over him. You should be starting...
Okay. Let's stop there, because people always have questions about Mark Ingram. That's one of
them. Yeah, I think if you're comparing... It feels to be... And that includes some of the guys you've already mentioned, you know, Aaron Jones, Nick Chubb, you know, guys that don't necessarily have the best situations. I think they're in better spots than some of these receivers.
So he's a number two receiver because the position's weak. You still like his talent, but if you feel confident about a running back or a wide receiver, if you feel confident about a running back that you're comparing to, like a Lamar Miller who's going to get a ton of work probably against the Jets, you'd start him over Golladay. Right?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay. All right. I think I got it. I think we're good there.
It feels like running back, you could say there's 23 to 25 good ones. We're at receiver, it's almost like 17 or 18.
I know we're going to get to this in a moment, but as I look at, well, not quite a moment, a few moments. As I look at your running back rankings, you have Justin Jackson ranked as if Gordon's not going to play. Right?
Yes.
But if he does play, Jackson's gone.
Cuttable.
See, I'm nervous. As someone who, we all know, I own a lot of Melvin Gordon. I'm so nervous that he plays, doesn't get a full workload. Like, yep. I might start both of them. And not be happy about it. Last week, I was somewhat happy to start Eckler and Jackson. And this week, in that same league, I might start both of them.
I would assume, because when he was fully healthy, they were giving Eckler, what, 8 to 10 touches a game?
Yeah,
I don't think that he's going to come back from this injury, possibly not quite 100%, and they're going to give him 100% of the work. So I think Jackson probably still gets those 8 to 10 touches.
And I feel like if Jackson does nothing, and Gordon's healthy, Gordon has his normal game, your combined fantasy points from your two running backs would probably still be pretty good. Because if Gordon's, you know, fully healthy in himself, he's going to just destroy Kansas City.
Yep.
And I look forward to that. I got something to tell y'all, all right? It's for the guys out there. Hair loss is no joke. 66% of men lose their hair by age 35. And when you start to notice hair loss, it's too late. Listen, it's much easier to keep the hair that you have than to replace the hair that you've lost. Why am I telling you this? Because we have a great sponsor, 4hims.com. 4hims.com can really help you out. And if you go to 4hims.com/FFT, I'll spell it out for you, FORHIMS.com/FFT, you can get a trial month of Hims for just $5 while supplies last. We're going to save you a lot of money. We're going to save you a lot of time. You don't have to go to the doctor anymore. You don't have to sit in the waiting room. You go to 4hims.com. You connect with real doctors and get medical-grade solutions to treat hair loss. Just answer a few quick questions. A doctor is going to review and can prescribe to you. And products are shipped directly to your door. So this is just a really easy way to treat your hair loss. Again, go to 4hims.com/FFT. Get a trial month of Hims for $5 while supplies last. See the website for full details. This is something that would cost hundreds if you went to the doctor or a pharmacy, but you can get it for $5. 4hims.com/FFT. 4hims.com/FFT. We want to help the people this week and every, just this week. It's the first time we're trying to help the people. So let's do some emails. FantasyFootball@CBSI.com. This is from Adam in a town between Albany and New York City. I wonder if this is me. I live between Albany and New York City. And he says, "Dear Adam, 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 and Adam, should I start Tyler Boyd or Josh Gordon this week?"
Gordon.
I'm going with Boyd.
Oh, wow. Do I have to break the tie since he addressed it to me four times?
Sure.
Not sure I'm ready to break the tie, but I need to do my research. But I like Gordon. I like Gordon. Evan McKnight needs help at flex, half PPR, Edelman, Spencer Ware, or Damian Williams if Ware is out. Jalen Samuels or Jeff Wilson, half PPR.
Just needs one?
Yeah.
I'm going to go Samuels.
Tough calls here.
Half PPR?
Yeah.
I'm going to go Samuels too.
But what if Connor comes back? Do you lose the chance to start Spencer Ware, you know? Are you willing to risk that?
I would rather start Edelman and half PPR than I would Ware.
Yeah, you also still have Wilson, too. So.
Yeah. All right, from Eric, Baltimore DST or Detroit DST?
I'll go Baltimore.
Baltimore.
From Aldo, PPR, pick a number two wide receiver, Curtis Samuel, Dante Pettis, Chris Conley. Samuel, Pettis, Conley.
Pettis.
Which format was this?
PPR.
I will go Samuel.
Wow, not a lot of agreement today. Defense, no. Saints or Jaguars?
Jaguars.
Yes.
And here's something,
we agree on the defenses.
And here's something we can definitely disagree on. Eat more Butterfingers, Aldo says. That will never happen. Brian in Sacramento says, on Connor, on Mixon, Cooper and Rudolph. I am in the first round of my 10-team PPR league playoffs. I am the number one seed playing the number four seed, who is a very scary first-round team to play. He's been on the rise with Cooper and Derrick Henry's recent explosions, and I'm trying to maximize my points. If Connor does not play, would you sit Zach Ertz for Jalen Samuels? If I do that, I can then make a roster. I can open a roster spot for Hilton, Cohen, or Nick Chubb.
Are you playing those other guys?
I guess not. I guess he'd be sitting Hilton, Cohen, and Chubb. Well, no, he could start one of them because Samuels.
Well, you should be starting T.Y. Hilton.
Yeah.
I don't think you have two receivers that are better than T.Y. Hilton.
So the question would be Ertz and whoever he's starting at receiver versus Samuels and Hilton, right?
I think it just comes down to
that, right?
I think it just comes down to Samuels versus Ertz because we like Hilton better than Samuels, right?
Yeah.
So who would you start, Samuels or Ertz?
I have Samuels projected for more points.
Yeah, I mean, Samuels scored more than him last week. It's going to be hard for the tight ends to top Samuels without both scoring touchdowns.
and I hope I expressed the appropriate level of confidence in my
answer. From Andy, dear, helpful, not helpful, kind of helpful, and hilarious. Ooh.
Okay, let's break this down.
No, no, no way. We're all hilarious. I really need this win. I'm the one seed. I'm out for revenge against the team I lost to last year. Who do I start at flex and half PPR? Dalvin Cook, Aaron Jones, or Amari Cooper?
Amari Cooper.
What's the format?
Half PPR.
Dalvin Cook.
Oh, man, you guys, very helpful and not helpful. all right, let's get Will Brinson on now. Let's talk about his undefeated team.
We should have Will just break all those ties we just had.
You know what? You know what? I'm going to tell Will to hang on, because here's what I'm thinking right now. I don't want to wait another 15 minutes to preview the Thursday night game. So let's make sure we do that.
Wow, Will, getting pushed to the back burner.
Yeah, I'm just going to have to let him know. But he'll be on in a few minutes. Let's talk about Thursday night, guys. Los Angeles at the Chiefs. And first thing I have is some Kansas City-themed trivia questions for Heath Cummings.
And I am going to fail at all of these because I'm not a good trivia person.
This is from kcparents.com. I don't know what that website is, so these
could all be... these are not even like trivia questions that have actual answers. They're just what do websites say about certain things.
True, yes.
Okay, great.
Which was invented in Kansas City? A, the Whopper. B, the Happy Meal. C, the Frosty.
I will go with the Frosty.
Wait, hold on. I need to cue up my soundboard. I forgot. A, the Whopper. B, the Happy Meal. And C, the Frosty. Please give your answer again.
I will go with the Frosty, please.
Where's the wrong? Damn it. Now the volume is down. Okay. There you go. No, you're wrong. The Happy Meal was invented in Kansas City.
I don't know if that's true.
Kansas City has more of this per capita than any other city. Barbecue restaurants.
Uh-huh.
Movie theaters. Stray cats.
That was not... I expected a different thing to be an answer because there is a correct answer to that question.
What is it?
And it's fountains.
Okay.
But amongst these three choices, I will say barbecue restaurants.
Good job. You got it right. last question. Which is a nickname for Kansas City? A, Central City. B, the City of Fountains. C, Swope City.
The City of Fountains.
Correct. Way to go. I don't have a ding. But you did well.
Thank you.
66%. You got a D. First meeting. Kansas City won 38-28 in week one. Patrick Mahomes was okay. He only threw four touchdowns. But Philip Rivers. I almost said Richard Sherman because he threw a touchdown to Anthony Sherman. I don't know what the hell I was thinking. Philip Rivers had 424 yards and three touchdowns, 34 fantasy points. So... we talked about it earlier. Let's talk about it again. Start or sit, Philip Rivers?
Start. He is a start. He's a low-end start, but he's a start.
Who are some guys you'd start over Philip Rivers? Not waiver wire guys, but, you know.
Goff?
Would you start Wilson over Rivers?
I would not.
Jamie would.
Yep.
Would you start Mitchell Trubisky over Rivers?
I would.
All right. So Jamie's got Rivers 10th.
I start Deshaun Watson over him.
I would too.
And Heath has Rivers 8th. Okay. So you're just not expecting a huge game, even though he's got an amazing matchup.
I think it's an okay matchup.
I think it's kind of amazing. Like, look what Goff, Carr, and Lamar Jackson have combined for 9 touchdowns, no picks in their last 3 games against Kansas City. You know, what? Yeah. Why isn't Rivers higher?
Six, right? Or five?
He had 4, I think.
I think that this is a different defense at Arrowhead than it is on the road. And I think there have been quarterbacks that have had okay performances at Arrowhead. I don't know if there's been more than one that's just had a monster game at Arrowhead.
Who was it?
There may not even been one.
The monster games have been Rivers, Roethlisberger, and Goff and Derek Carr.
And those were all on the road, right? I know Rivers, Roethlisberger, and Goff were.
Yeah, I don't know where the Carr game was. It was in a car. Okay, fine. What do you do with Melvin Gordon, Justin Jackson?
I mean, if Gordon starts, you start him.
If Gordon doesn't, you start Jackson.
How high would you have Jackson? Well, how high do you have Jackson, since that's how you've ranked him so far?
Number 7.
I think he's more of a number 2 running back.
Discuss.
I mean, the thought would be is they're probably chasing points. So will it be we can give him the proper amount of touches that he needs to be successful?
Chasing points.
And what happens if he doesn't score?
They might be the second best team in the NFL. Give him a little love.
And we should probably, we don't do this too often. And I'm just going to check and see if it's changed any. When I looked yesterday, the forecast for game time was 35 with an 80% chance of rain. Looks like the rain chances have fallen. So it's just going to be very, very cold.
Okay, that's good. Well, I mean, it's a big difference that Heath has him 7th and Jamie has Justin Jackson as kind of a number 2 running back.
I think the Chiefs are one of the worst run defenses in the league. They have given up the 3rd or 4th most fantasy points to running backs. And a lot of teams they've played have had 2 or 3 running backs that have chopped that up a little bit. And if Gordon and Eckler are both out, I don't expect Newsom to get very many touches.
So I think I asked this earlier. I'll ask it again. Well, I'll put it this way. How would you rank Aaron Jones, Nick Chubb, Justin Jackson if Melvin Gordon doesn't play?
Chubb, Jones, Jackson.
Chubbs, Jackson, Jones.
Chubbs?
Chubbs.
Chubbs, okay. Happy Gilmore. Starting any Chargers wide receivers other than Keenan Allen?
No.
Mike Williams is a number 3 for me.
Okay. Patrick Mahomes is your number 1 quarterback. Do you consider this a tough matchup for him?
No.
I don't consider matchup with Patrick Mahomes.
Well, you should.
Doesn't matter.
I mean, he's always going to be top 5, but he doesn't necessarily have to be number 1 if he has a tough matchup. But like last week, for example, and the week and when he faced the Cardinals and when he faced the Jaguars. But the Chargers allow the 5th fewest fantasy points to quarterbacks. They really haven't faced a lot of good quarterbacks. We'll see. This will be a test for them.
He's already faced this matchup, and he scored 36 fantasy points.
Yeah, it was week 1. Who cares about week 1? Nothing. They didn't have Joey Bosa back then. Now, how do you approach the running backs for Kansas City?
I think Spencer Ware is in the Justin Jackson range.
I think Ware is a low-end number 2, but you're starting him. And if Ware was out, you'd be starting Damian Williams.
The thing that you saw with Ware last week was exactly what you hoped to see. 20 touches, over 100 total yards. The only thing that was missing was a touchdown.
So why then do you have him outside your top 20? Because that sounds like a, you know, is it just that running? You have him 18th in PPR. Is it just that you like a lot of running backs this week?
I'm a little concerned about the injury.
Okay. And Heath, where do you have Ware?
21, I think, in non-PPR, 23 in PPR.
Mark Ingram, Spencer Ware.
I would take Ingram.
Right now, Ingram. I may change that on Thursday if Ware's 100%.
Dante Pettis, Spencer Ware.
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 Kenny Galladay or Spencer Ware?
Ware.
I will take Ware in non-PPR and Galladay in PPR.
Do you have any interest in Damian Williams if Ware plays?
Deep league flex.
It's got to be a real, yeah. Like our IDP league where you start 3 wide receivers and a flex, I think you could consider it there.
And finally, Chris Conley, when you're starting Tyreek Hill, you're starting Travis Kelce. What do you think about Chris Conley?
Number 3 receiver.
Yeah, I think he's a low-end number 3, high-end number 4, a lot like Josh Reynolds. There's certainly 2 touchdown upside, and there's 4-point floor.
Yeah, the Chargers have this weird habit of giving up like 30 yards and a touchdown to a wide receiver. Like DeAnthony Thomas, Kelvin Benjamin, Kendrick Bourne, Jordy Nelson, Martavis Bryant, Damian Ratley, Jerron Brown, Cortland Sutton, Larry Fitzgerald, John Ross. They all scored 7 to 10 fantasy points in non-PPR, 9 to 14 in PPR. So some of them were like low yards and a touchdown, or maybe like a 70-yard game, something like that. But it's just so hard to trust a stat like that. Sit the DSTs, and what's the final score of this game?
31-24 Chiefs.
Sure.
That's it, Jim? You're just going to agree with Heath?
Yeah, it's the right range.
I may have just gone complete. I may have given the exact score projected, but no. Let's see. If Vegas was setting it, it would be 30-27.
30-27? Okay.
Or 29-26 or something silly like that.
I really hope Melvin Gordon plays. They're a much better team with him. That would be their big advantage in this game. I hope to see him. So, who's hungry? You guys hungry yet? Heath, it's almost lunchtime for you. It's 9:40 in the morning.
I my stomach is growling, and I'm thinking about where I'm going to go get lunch as soon as this podcast ends, and I will run to my car to go get lunch.
I have a feeling you're going to be eating some red meat after this, because I'm going to tell you about Omaha Steaks. Last year was their 100th anniversary. This is America's original butcher since 1917, and I've got my Omaha Steaks package in the freezer. And it is slowly dwindling because I cannot stop eating it. How about a 74% discount? You know, a lot of times here, yeah, it's $20. Here's a 50% discount. This is a 74% discount off the Omaha Steaks family gift package, which is usually $195. Now it's $49.99. If you go to omahasteaks.com and in the search bar, you type in FFT, you'll get a 74% discount. What are you getting? If you type in FFT in the search bar at omahasteaks.com, 4 hand-cut top sirloin steaks, 2 premium pork chops, 4 chicken fried steaks, those are Heath's favorite, 4 Omaha Steaks burgers, 4 kielbasa sausages, those are my favorite, all beef meatballs, they're amazing, 4 potatoes au gratin, 4 caramel apple tartlets, surprisingly, I'm not a big caramel guy, I loved them, they are great, and 4 more burgers that they're throwing in for free. This is a fifth-generation family-owned company with over 100 years of experience delivering perfectly aged beef hand-cut by master butchers in Omaha. Please check it out. Go to omahasteaks.com, type in FFT in the search bar. Get all this food for $49.99. omahasteaks.com, FFT in the search bar. Now let's bring on our super-duper special guest, Will Brinson. What's up, podcast host Will Brinson? How we doing?
What's up, podcast host Adam Azer?
I gotta tell you, I went grocery shopping yesterday, and it was great. I had the headphones on. I was one of those annoying people that wasn't paying attention to surroundings. I was just wrapped up in the Pick Six podcast. The episode you did with Brady Quinn that aired on Monday was outstanding. And listening to Brady Quinn makes me realize how little I know about football. In fact, he was even like basically calling me and people like me out for just not knowing about football. Not watching. He's like, I watch more football than everybody. But he did have some really interesting takes. And you got yourself a great podcast, sir. So I want everybody to listen to the Pick Six podcast. But what did you find interesting about yesterday's show?
Well, I think it's like really – well, first of all, I find it interesting that Brady owns a 1973 Ford Bronco. Like, that's what he drives around. I mean, it is kind of crazy because, like, I think I'm like – Brady and I are friends. Like, we're – you know, like, I mean, we're – you know, we text and stuff. But it's like – it's wild that, you know, he is a – probably the greatest player in Notre Dame history ever. Like, and there are a lot of really good players who played there. Like, in terms of statistical production, he's totally, you know, I'm sure that Brady's a millionaire, right? Like, he was a first round pick. I mean, he's like this wealthy, famous quarterback. And when you talk to him, like, he's not afraid to talk about things like the stuff that Bills fans throw on the field. That's what makes the podcast so engrossing is he's a football savant. You know, a famous person and yet a man of the people. And so those podcasts are great. It's like having Heath Cummings on, basically. A millionaire, famous person who's a man of the people.
I had a very funny interaction about a week and a half ago with Brady in the break room. And I walked in, get my coffee, and he's standing there. We talk about a variety of things, but he asked me just how the season was going for fantasy football. And I made a reference to it's a little bit more difficult this year because we have these new offensive coordinators that are getting so much smarter and doing such a better job of distributing touches in a way that's not predictable. And the look on Brady's face when I suggested that football people were getting smarter, he just like as if I would know that.
Right.
It was a fun time. Kind of an awkward moment, but a fun time.
It is. I think I'm surprised that he doesn't treat me with more disdain because I'll suggest something and he's like, what? No.
Well, if you apparently the one thing I learned is that if you like IPAs, He will treat you with disdain. But enough about that. Listen to the podcast. I do want to talk about what he said about rookie quarterbacks. I thought it was really interesting. And even what he said about Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski. But Will's got an undefeated auction team.
Yeah.
And Heath read your squad on the air last week. But why don't you go ahead and refresh our memory? Because it's pretty amazing.
You know what the really, truly amazing part about this squad is? We drafted in the offseason, of course. And I was... I had told Dave Richard, who's the commissioner of this league, I was like, hey, man, I'll do the league if you want. I really try to cut back on fantasy leagues this year. But if you need a, 12th person for this auction draft, I'll do it. And so Dave's like, hey, I actually do need somebody to do it. Can you join? I was like, yes. As it turned out, I was recording a podcast with Mina Kimes while I was doing this draft. And so I was like, kind of like a, like, I was like sort of watching it, but like having this conversation in the middle of it. It was difficult. And I just went all aggressively and bought Saquon Barkley for $29, Todd Gurley for $34. That turns out that was a pretty good combination.
Out of $100 budget?
I think it was $100 budget. Yes. And then nobody on this podcast in this website likes Brandon Cook, so I bought him for $5. Adam Thielen was $11, so that was a good price. And then I think I bought Zach Ertz for $10, and then Patrick Mahomes was $1 because quarterbacks are of course, you're welcome, buddy. Quarterbacks, he got my telephone. Yeah, go play YouTube. quarterbacks are dirt cheap at auction leagues, so I got Patrick Mahomes for $1, and then I think I picked up Nick Chubb off the waiver wire. I have to decide Nick Chubb. The crazy thing about this league, though, is that you can't do $0 bids, and I only have...
Oh, we've talked about that a lot this year.
That was a major commissioner flub.
I'm out of money. And I'm in the playoffs. So like if Patrick Mahomes goes down, there are obviously bigger problems in my undefeated auction league, but I would have no quarterback.
Oh,
I had to start. I won a week with Patrick Mahomes on a bye. I didn't have any money to pick up a quarterback, and I beat RJ by 60 points with Patrick with no quarterback.
That's awesome.
I think the best part though is that, and I don't know if Jamie remembers this, but there was another commissioner flub during this auction.
Yes, that's right.
And Will wasn't present for the auction. He was online, and we decided the commissioner had not put a flex spot in the rosters.
Yes. Oh, right.
And so it was decided during the auction that we would be adding a flex spot, and no one told Will. And Will likes to complain a little bit, invalidated the results of the auction immediately afterwards and almost wanted to do the whole thing over, and now he's undefeated.
Hey, can we do it all over again?
No. I mean, I've never had an undefeated team. This would be my first. I mean, this is my first undefeated regular season. I am utterly convinced I will not win in the playoffs.
You got to be feeling so much
I just
so
lost my
pressure.
First one, Will. It's a 10-team league, so it's not as impressive. But it was the last week of the regular season, and I went against Derrick Henry.
Oh no!
But you. I wonder if you would have lost last week, Will, with Cooks and Gurley and Mahomes,
and Thielen.
Yeah. That's almost exactly what Dave and Ertz. That's almost like exactly what Dave had in the podcast league, and he lost. So, all right, let me move on. I'm sorry.
Well, I was gonna point out, like, I did four podcast leagues, pick six podcast leagues, mm-hmm. and I'm managing them all, and I lost this week in the playoffs. But I was going through and like sending out an email, like, hey, here's the finals matchups. Todd Gurley killed. I mean, I'm sure you guys have talked about this, but Todd Gurley killed everybody.
Yeah.
If you had a team that made the playoffs and then had Todd Gurley, you're out. And I mean, that's what stinks about.
Well, a lot of people that buys with Todd Gurley though.
Yeah.
Sure.
But wait. Adam, Will hosts a podcast that's just a football podcast and not a fantasy football podcast, right?
Yeah.
And he puts together four leagues for his listeners.
That's right.
And
he probably
was nice enough to let everybody know who made the playoffs, how they did, sent out a note, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I send out an email every week.
Yeah. Oh, every week. My goodness, what a commitment.
Not every week during the regular season, but every week. Oh, by the way, do you guys have Fantasy Football Today t-shirts yet?
No.
So we have Pick Six Podcast t-shirts. You know that, right?
No, I didn't know that.
There should be some in Fort Lauderdale, Heath. You come on every week. You should go ask marketing for one. They're awesome.
All right.
They're like super like soft gray with like the logo. Like the podcast name itself is fine, like whatever, but the t-shirts are cool.
I wish someone had suggested this to Adam before.
Yeah, I know. Heath did. All right, listen, I want to talk fantasy here. Will, you have some rankings disagreements with Jamie and Heath's rankings. You looked at them. You think they're too low on David Johnson and Dalvin Cook, who they have pretty high. So I'm not quite sure what you want them
to. I have David Johnson seventh.
All right, I looked at the top 150 flex for PPR is what I looked at. That's what I go to for y'all's.
Okay, let's pick that up.
How would you like to just – when what context do you want to frame
that's
this?
Fine. Let's look at the top 150 flexes. Heath, do you have those rankings up by any chance?
I will pull mine up.
All right, where's David Johnson?
You have David Johnson 14th. That's really high.
Oh, Jamie's got him 27th. Jamie's got him 27th. So, Jamie, Will thinks you're too low on David Johnson.
Based on what?
The fact that he's playing the Falcons, who are the worst defense in football. As we know, over years, we have years of empirical evidence that the Falcons give up tons of receptions to running backs. I think this is an opportunity for Byron Leftwich to say, okay, look, that was a humiliating and pathetic laydown by the offense and by the team in general. I am coaching for my job still. Steve Wilkes is coaching for his job. We got to go into Atlanta. We got to use David Johnson, get him out there, sling the ball around. I think David Johnson is going to reward fantasy owners who made the playoffs and drafted him over Saquon Barkley like friggin' idiots, but with a big game in week 15.
I like David Johnson, but he's had some amazing matchups of late and hasn't exactly taken advantage of them. And so, like, the Packers game was an amazing matchup. He had 20 carries for 69 yards. The Chargers game was an amazing matchup, 17 carries for 63 yards. He hasn't scored a touchdown in four games in a row. So I think you're starting David Johnson. I don't think anybody's benching him. But, like, I like Dalvin Cook better than him. I like Leonard Fournette better than him.
Yeah, I mean,
I think Dalvin Cook's going to have a huge game. I get the Leonard Fournette stuff. I'm a little worried that the Jaguars are like 10-point favorites at home. That seems crazy, but...
Well, you've watched Washington play, right?
I've actually not seen Josh Johnson play. I'm refusing to watch Washington for the rest of the year. I hate them. They can burn in hell. I hate the Redskins. They're costing me money. It's really annoying.
They're just one win shy.
I had $50 on them to win the NFC East at 9-1. So.
Yeah, I had the 6.5, and they got the 6 like a month ago. And then not going to win any more games.
I have it at 7. It's cruel. I'm with you. I think that one of the teams that I would be a little wary of, like Nick Chubb. Like, do you think Nick Chubb is going to outscore David Johnson? I'm starting both of them in this week. But, I mean, Denver's, I mean, it's especially on like a Saturday night primetime game. But Denver's definitely a better defense than Atlanta. I don't know. I feel like David Johnson should outscore and could outscore Nick Chubb.
I think he could outscore Nick Chubb. I think that Nick Chubb's better than David Johnson now. And so the matchup
he's in a better
is
offense.
Worse.
As a player, he's definitely better. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's a better player.
Well, I think we're kind of forgetting how
he's
good
in a better
David
offense
Johnson
than him.
Is.
Nick Chubb's really good.
He's a better fantasy player.
And David Johnson's
Chubb
not.
Matters.
I don't feel like Johnson's as good as he was 2 years ago.
I don't either. Nick Chubb is really good. You watch him run, and he has that I could break this at any second potential.
Yeah, he's terrific.
And offensive line is a disaster for Arizona too. I don't know. I think this is a big David Johnson week, and he gets worked into the top 10 next year because of it.
Let me say another one that I thought was pretty interesting. Will. Will thinks that Heath and Jamie are too low on Jordy Nelson. Isn't that right, Will?
I do. I actually added Jordy. I was like, am I drunk? Like, what am I doing? Am I still? Like, I went to a concert last night. Krangbin, very good band. You should check them out.
Krangbin?
I had to explain it. It's Krangbin. They're really good. They're like all instrumental, like jazz funk. But I was like, am I in some mystical world? Like, am I what happened here? I'm adding Jordy Nelson all over the place this morning. Like, I added Jordy Nelson in like three leagues, and I feel good about it. And if you look at 18 targets the last 2 weeks, David Carr's winging all over the place. The Bengals are terrible on defense. They're 18th, I think, at DVOA against number one wide receivers. I think there's potential for Jordy Nelson to save some seasons here.
It was a nice Freudian slip that you called him David Carr.
Did I call him David Carr? They've all blocked
him. He's on a Kronk bender right now or whatever.
Yeah, on a Kronk bender right now.
Yeah. What was the name of the band? Kronk Bend?
let's see how you pronounce it. From Houston, Texas. Kronk Bend.
When you say Krongbin, I was thinking like metal.
Yeah,
no, they're like
instrumental, all instrumental jazz.
It's described as soul, surf, psychedelic, and funk. They're really good.
Guys, are you too low on Jordy Nelson?
Too low on Krongbin, I'll tell you that.
I have him 76 in my PPR flex rankings. It's in the Golden Tate, Alshon Jeffrey range. This game's weird. They're two terrible, terrible, terrible teams, terrible defenses. I just kind of think, and I said this on the podcast yesterday as a joke, but it's also kind of true. Don't ever underestimate Marvin Lewis's ability to get to 8-8. And so this is a home game against an awful team. I think the Bengals probably win.
Jamie, are you too low? You have him 43rd, Jordy Nelson, in PPR. At wide receiver, not flex.
I mean, he's had, what, one good game since week 5?
Yeah.
Just, you know, at this point in the season, I don't know how many people are trusting Jordy Nelson. Should they? Potentially. Better in daily than seasonal? Sure. But, I mean, they could run the ball on Cincinnati and not necessarily have to throw.
It's slim pickings out there, man. If you're trying to fill those flex spots, I mean, like, would you rather start Adam Humphries or Jordy Nelson? I'd rather start Jordy Nelson.
I'd rather start Adam Humphries.
I'd rather start Adam Humphries.
Okay.
Last topic here. Then we're going to do some tweets about players and a couple of fantasy regulators to finish the show. Brady, you know, a lot of people are in dynasty leagues. Brady Quinn was talking about the rookie quarterbacks and Will's pretty high on them, you know, as a group, those first round pick quarterbacks. But Brady seems to think that Baker Mayfield doesn't, correct me if I'm wrong, it doesn't really have that super upside and that Josh Allen might end up being the best, right? Is that kind of what he was saying?
Yeah, I meant to ask him sort of more about Baker, but I was so, but I thought he was like screwing up and meaning to say Josh Rosen. He was saying Josh Allen.
Yeah.
And if you look at Brady's Twitter account this morning, it looks like it's been hacked by Prisco. Cause he's like, people need to watch the film. Allen's better than they think. I mean, he's not wrong. Josh Allen is, you know, Josh Allen's dealing with a lot of, you know, offensive line issues, personnel issues in terms of like his, you know, the two guys he's catching balls from sound like made up, you know, Ian McKenzie and Robert Foster. I mean, of course, everybody knows those illustrious names at the wide receiver position. He basically, I think it was sort of similar to maybe a Russell Wilson comp. Like everybody, when Russell Wilson was drafted and when he started playing well, it's like, well, he's really good, but his ceiling is limited because his height and his age and the things that he does well. But to me, I disagree with Brady in that sense. Like, I think that Baker Mayfield's ceiling is unlimited. He thinks that Josh Allen is the number. If he was drafting a team right now, he would take Josh Allen as his first choice of the rookie quarterbacks.
And he had just done a Bills game, so he's extensively
he's doing
watched
the Bills game. Oh, Bills Lions this week.
Let's check this. Let's check back after this week.
Yeah, well, he watched the film and he came away pretty impressed with Josh Allen. He said his receivers were
Josh Allen looks
balls.
Great.
I think he definitely has passed Darnold and Rosen. I would put a big gap between Baker and anyone else, and then another gap between Lamar and Josh Allen. I think Lamar Jackson's a better passing quarterback than Josh Allen is.
And the only thing he was saying.
One of them is inaccurate and runs a lot, and the other has a Heisman Trophy.
You know what? I'll let people listen to that conversation on the Pick Six podcast. Will, I want to thank you for coming on. And by the way, they do an episode. They do 5 episodes a week. It's not just one episode with Brady Quinn. It's terrific stuff. They'll be previewing games, recapping games, good guests, great show. Will, thanks for coming on, man.
You know, Heath comes on.
Heath is also on
today.
Yeah, today. Heath and I will be talking. Well, this is Wednesday's Fantasy Football Today show, right?
So tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yes, Heath will be on tomorrow, but Heath and I will talk today.
Yeah, which is great because Heath decides not to join the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast on Wednesdays. Instead, he joins the Pick Six podcast.
It's December.
A lot better host.
It's December. I listen to the Fantasy Baseball podcast all the time, but not in December.
Oh, well, I'm sorry to hear that. Will, thank you. Thank you for coming on. Get the hell out of here.
Thanks, guys.
All right. That is Will Brinson. And we've got a lot of tweets about players that we're going to read right after this.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
And I realize that we did not preview the tight end position for 2019, something we can do tomorrow when Dave Richard comes back. Okay, here are some tweets. Watson and Rivers are my guys. Who am I going with this week?
Watson.
Yep.
Question for next year. Keep two of these three. Mike Evans, Nick Chubb, Zach Ertz.
Chubb and Ertz.
Yep.
Can I drop Kerryon Johnson, or do you think he'll be back soon?
If you need someone for this week, you can drop him.
Yeah, I wouldn't drop him for a stash, but if you need a starter, you can.
What you could do is drop him today, play defense against somebody else in your league.
You have completely...
Try to pick him up Saturday.
Completely mischaracterized what I did.
Then the nice thing is, if someone else picks him up, you can say, oh, wait, I didn't mean to drop him.
All right. Aaron Jones or Justin Jackson, PPR?
I'm going Jackson if no Melvin.
I'm going Aaron Jones.
Jarvis Landry, PPR gold or no rest of season?
No, but startable.
More like bronze.
Ty, Sutton, Fitz. That has to be T.Y. T.Y., Sutton, or Fitz? Need two.
Format?
0.2 PPR, believe it or not.
Fitzgerald over Sutton.
Yep. Hilton. Start T.Y. He's a top five receiver.
Corey Davis. Is Corey Davis going to be a forever wide receiver three?
Probably.
I hope not.
I don't know if you know the answer to this one, but who's the most random week 14 to 16 waiver wire pickup that has won you a league?
Devin Aromashodu.
Ever?
Yeah, ever. That's pretty good. I feel like there should be an obvious answer to this, and I just can't think of anything.
Tebow.
Oh, okay. Cool. I need a flex. Julian Edelman, Gus Edwards, Derrick Henry, or Mark Ingram, and I do not know the format.
Edelman.
Edelman who?
Gus Edwards, Derrick Henry, Mark Ingram.
I would go Gus and non-PPR, Edelman and PPR.
Doesn't Gus make you nervous, though, with the dicks and stuff?
Makes me a little nervous. I'm always nervous about Edelman and non-PPR.
Josh Allen over Aaron Rodgers in a 4-point per passing touchdown league?
Yes.
Yep.
Who are the best tight ends to stream over the next 2 weeks?
Ian Thomas and Anthony Firkser.
Ian Thomas and Vernon Davis.
Keep two, trade two in a dynasty league. Michelle, round 4. Chubb, round 7. Robert Woods, round 14. Philip Lindsay, round 15.
Keep Chubb and Lindsay.
Yes.
Sony Michel or Justin Jackson this week?
Jackson.
Jackson, as long as Gordon's out.
Who would you flex in PPR, Kenny Galladay or Justin Jackson?
Jackson.
Jackson, as long as Gordon's out.
Should I go with Ebron or Jordan Howard in my standard scoring league?
Ebron.
Ebron or Jordan Howard?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Ebron.
Deshaun Watson, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen. Who do I start?
Watson.
Watson. Watson. Dak or Josh Allen?
Dak.
Dak.
Bears DST or Jags DST?
Jags.
Yeah.
Thoughts on Kittle for a 12th round pick, Philip Lindsay for a 9th round pick, Jameis 13th, Kerryon Johnson 3rd round. Who do you like? Non-PPR. Kittle, it's basically probably Kittle in the 12th or Lindsay in the 9th.
Lindsay.
I'm going to go Kittle.
Kenyon Drake, Deion Lewis, or Jalen Samuels, non-PPR?
Samuels.
Samuels.
Will Mike Williams score more PPR points than Pettis this week?
No.
No.
And finally from Alex, I lost by 0.42 points. But the real question is, why do Juju and Drake's backward lateral count as backward laterals, it should say, count as catches? I believe the original reception should receive the point and the rest should be yardage. Thoughts?
They don't count as catches.
They don't.
They do count.
No.
They don't. They count as receiving yards. They don't count as catches.
Kenyon Drake had a 3-yard catch and a 52-yard run after catch, and he has one catch for 55 yards.
That's interesting. Okay. Okay.
So where it gets skewed is PPR versus non-PPR. Non-PPR, it's the same. I'm sorry. PPR, it's the same. You don't get the catch.
You do get the yards, though.
Yes.
And they are receiving yards.
Okay, fun. Okay, good stuff. Good to know. And we, of course, have a Wednesday show, which means we have to regulate. So here we go. From Eric. A player last week dropped James Conner at game time for Rex Burkhead out of spite for losing Conner and Gordon to injury before the playoffs began. Should Conner be able to be added by another team, which would change the landscape of the playoffs?
Yeah.
You know. Yes.
Wait, that pisses me off. I have a question.
It's an important question, and I don't know the answer. Go ahead.
Is the guy that dropped him in the playoffs?
I have no idea.
If he's not in the playoffs, then no, you shouldn't. You should reverse the transaction.
Yeah, exactly. But if he's not in the playoffs, then he should not have been able to drop James Conner.
Exactly.
But what if he were not making the playoffs? But he made this transaction was before the playoffs started. He dropped Conner.
But it was the week of the playoffs.
He said before the playoffs began. I think it's garbage. I don't think that no. The only reason why it's okay to drop Conner is if you had to drop him to start someone that week. If you spite drop him and now all of a sudden some playoff team is able to pick him up, that bothers me. I say no.
No.
But you just said yes. You just said it should stand.
If the guy's out of the playoffs, the answer is no.
Gotcha. One more now from John. I took over as a commissioner in a second-year dynasty league when the original commissioner quit right after week 13. I made it as the 6th seed in the playoffs, and I beat the 3 seed. The 4th seed beat the 5 seed. So now you have the 1, 2, 4, and 6 seeds left. The next round has the 2 seed playing the 6 seed and the 1 seed playing the 4-5. This morning, the number 1 seed mentioned in the group chat that the seeding was wrong and he should not have to play the higher seed. I read the in-depth bylaws left by the original commissioner, and there was nothing stating a reseeding. I said, unless all 4 playoff contenders can agree to reseed, then I can't do it. The 4 seed does not want to reseed, so I am refusing to reseed. What should I do? I'm in a lose-lose situation. It's only my first week as interim commissioner for this league.
You don't change the rules in the middle of the season. If there's not reseeding in the bylaws, then there's not reseeding.
Right.
Yeah, but what I don't understand is... Oh, okay. I guess it was set up so that the 1 seed would play the winner of the 4-5. And
right, that's the way a lot of our leagues are.
Yeah, I like to reseed. I'm a reseeder.
You just have to decide if you want to have reseeding like the NFL does or not.
Yeah. Like my hairline, I reseed. All right, guys. We're at 4hymns.com/FFT. We're out of here. Thank you for listening, everybody.
You don't have the other regulators?
Which one? What is it?
You play a song?
Go ahead. Do you want me to start the song over?
Yeah, please.
Okay, hold on.
Gotta go, bye.
He has to go. Bye. We all have to go. Bye, everybody. We'll talk to you on Thursday. Starter sit for the AFC home games.